and it's KVC Arts Now on KVCR, arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. On this edition of the program, welcoming back a classical and operatic soprano, Golda Zara, with concerts in the region from near the end of May through the summer. First thing that I want to say is, since you were on the show in the past, you were Golda Berkman at that point. And so people will have to go back 9 years for this one. You were 16 or 17, about to perform in Redlands. Puccini?
Yeah, Gianni Schicchi.
That's right. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You're now going by Golda Zara.
Yeah.
Is this your middle name, stage name? Where did this come from? I know what it means, but I don't know its connection to you.
So this is my legal middle name.
Okay.
Which is very funny because when I was living in Italy, when you'd see my full name, Golda Zara Berkman, nobody knew which name to even call me. So they'd call me Zara, like that in Italy. But Zahra in Farsi means shining light. And it was a middle name that my grandmother chose because my dad originally wanted to name me Ariel as the middle name.
Okay.
And it's a little bit like Little Mermaid Ariel, you know. So, but my mom said, no, I want to have something that's to our Iranian heritage. So I think it's kind of like my connection to my mother's side and my connection to my Iranian culture and heritage. Yeah.
Oh, phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's really
so
cool.
It does have a meaning to it.
Well, I was looking through and, you know, you could almost do some detective work and figure out, well, wait, it was still Berkman. You can still find newspaper articles going by Berkman as of the age of 19, or whatever it was, you know, so,
yeah,
okay.
I kind of changed it when I was in Italy because everyone just started calling me Zara as my first name. It's like my dad's middle name is Ross. Imagine if they just all randomly started calling him Ross, you know what I mean? So I was like, okay, I'll use it as my last name so that they know that Gold is my first name and Zara, like last name, like a stage name. And it sounds cool.
It does sound cool.
It sounds kind of exotic.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. Golda Berkman kind of just sounds like a random bubby. So...
No, so this will, going by Berkman, though, you will have fans will be invading the Earth Cafe looking for the wonderful soprano.
Yeah, they would. and it's not a help when they put my flyers out. So they're going to be like, oh, we went to Earth. Can we get free tickets and a free matcha boba at the same time? Like,
talk to Shalom.
Okay,
you grew up either doing this or being around it. I read at the age of 4, you were either going to operas with your parents or listening at home with your parents. They did this to you.
They did. It's my dad's fault.
Okay.
Playing the victim. No. They did this to me in the sense that, when I was 4, they would take me to operas because my parents were big fans. Before listening to actual opera, they were big fans of Sarah Brightman and Andrea Bocelli. And so their first opera was actually at LA Opera. I think they saw Elixir of Love. And then after that, they really liked it because it has like the famous aria, Una furtiva lagrima, which means a hidden tear in Italian, very poetic. And they ended up seeing Puccini's La Bohème.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, they became fans of the LA Opera and they continued on seeing it. And my first opera at 4 years old was Mozart's Magic Flute.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so can you imagine? I loved all the different costumes and scenes, and I remember one of my favorite scenes was Papageno with his flute and all the little animals following him and Tamino. That was some of my favorite scenes from the opera, and I think that's actually one of the best operas to show a kid, you know?
The Magic Flute.
Magic Flute, because it's so childlike and fairy tale-like. It's really nice, so.
Either that or Der Fledermaus.
Yeah, Der Fledermaus is nice also, yeah. Yeah,
it's calming.
It's a sweet operetta. Strauss is always fun.
What do you listen to when it's not opera?
When it's not opera, I really like 80s. I really like 70s. I actually was telling you earlier, I was listening to Prince in the car.
Yeah.
So When Doves Cry. Yeah, a lot of 80s and 90s and 70s. I loved the Beatles when I was a kid. I was a big Beatles fan. Elvis. I love Madonna. A lot of things like that.
We're definitely going to be addressing the accessibility of opera in a bit, just because there's a lot to say there, I think. But I was aware of you being in Italy up until maybe a year ago, roughly, give or take, I suppose.
Yeah.
But now I just read that you actually moved there. Maybe it was off and on, but... after high school?
Yeah, I went there. I went to a music association / academy for 4 years where I studied there. And then after I worked with an amazing diva and soprano, her name is Barbara Frittoli. And I was working in her studio under her wing. She brought me under her wing. And it's amazing because most of her repertoire is a repertoire I sing as well. So a really wonderful person to be able to have been mentored by. And then I moved back, I'd like to say in January, and now I'm working with Bill Schumann in New York. I think he is the best, not just operatic, but just the best vocal coach in the States, period. He even worked with Michael Bolton. He worked with so many different stars, and all of the most famous opera singers of today have went through him or are still working with him. So he's a really wonderful human being and wonderful teacher and wonderful mentor to be with.
How do you end up being with a person of such caliber?
I've been doing a lot of different shows, but also I had a friend of mine who has a competition, and she knew I was coming back to the States. And I asked her, since she had this operatic competition that's pretty prestigious in the States, I asked her, could you recommend anyone to me that I can work with? Because after working with someone like Barbara, I was like, oh, I can't work with it. Who am I going to work with now? I basically worked with the best.
Yeah, but she was, everybody would be.
Yeah, she knew this Mr. Schumann is one of her close friends. And she said, oh, well, I have Bill Schumann. He's one of the best voice teachers in the industry. But you have to do an audition with him and see if he likes you. So I went specifically to New York and I did an audition with him in his home and studio on the Upper West Side. And we really clicked and he really believes in me. And that's history.
Wow. Generally speaking, somebody says something and then it ends up in print. And then years later, somebody will say, you said in this, and you're like, oh my God, what did I say? They're going to quote me. They're going to quote me.
Oh no, are you going to quote me?
I'm going to quote you.
Oh goodness.
This is not a bad thing at all. Okay.
And I plead the fifth.
Okay, then we'll skip them.
Joking.
So we're talking about accessibility, that as a classical singer, your goal is to make opera accessible for anybody and anyone. I really appreciate that. And so now here's my call me Ishmael. I was speaking with a dear friend recently, and often we speak about music, although it's often anywhere from metal to like neoclassical to jazz fusion.
Wow.
Oh, just, yeah, it's all over the map. And he's extremely well-read. But anyway, he just out of the blue asked if I ever listen to opera. And I said yes, and so, but it's nowhere near my go-to, but he asked for recommendations, and we talked about struggles, and so I mentioned a few things, and one of the first things I mentioned, I have to say, is Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, I love Jesus Christ Superstar.
You know, I'll put that up above.
I love Andrew Lloyd Webber. I love Jesus Christ Superstar. I actually have a really sweet memory because my dad and I, we used to drive to Big Bear. And so our playlist was Jesus Christ Superstar.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. That's how much of Andrew Lloyd Webber fans we are. You know, Cats, Jesus Christ Superstar, Phantom of the Opera, Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, Andrew Lloyd Webber memories.
Memory, yes. I'm actually going to be singing that in one of my upcoming concerts. So that's,
cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's totally cool. I just had to make connections, and I spoke with Sarah Brightman not too long ago.
About really? Yeah. Wow.
She's doing a Christmas thing in the area. So, okay, so I'm sure I mentioned things like Don Giovanni or La Boheme and whatnot. Verdi?
Yeah.
But then I really struggled because I found myself not being able to fully embrace it. And I finally had to say, and this sounds, I don't know what it sounds like exactly, but it wasn't, it's not in English, by God. And so the point is that that made it a bit less accessible. And you can still watch something. You can watch a Bollywood film and you can still follow along to a great extent, but you're still not going to get all the nuance and whatnot.
Definitely.
With that in mind, I mean, well, now we're down to, okay, Jesus Christ Superstar, Porgy and Bess.
Yeah.
Did I just name all the English ones? No, maybe, so much is elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple modern operas going on right now that they're playing at the Met that are written today, this day and age, and they're in English. I do think that is a particular aspect of opera that needs to be talked about. I think the good thing is that, fortunately, we have super titles. So in English. Okay. So when you go to any opera, and most of my shows have it when I'm in a theater, like the show that I'm going to be doing at the Broad Stage on July 13th, and also I'm going to be singing Turandot with the whole opera by Puccini at Walt Disney Concert Hall on August 16th. Those both have super titles. And my concert, whenever I sing something that's not in English, I make sure to have super titles up there and also in the playbill. so that someone that doesn't speak Italian or even, because sometimes I go see operas, like when I lived in Verona, I'd go to the Arena and I'd see operas and they'd have the super titles in English and Italian. But sometimes people, you know, when they're singing in such a high tessitura and you can't really make out what they're saying if you don't know the opera, like me, you know, like you studied it, you know. So yeah, that is an issue sometimes, but just making sure that you can read the super titles and you have the playbill with the lyrics in Italian or French or German and English, it helps, you know, so you can kind of follow along and get the gist.
Super titles, by the way. Mm. Folks think subtitles, and we're just talking about it's super instead of a sub. The other option, I suppose, and I just wonder if you've been a part of it, is if somebody's actually translated.
They have actually. For example, when they do the Magic Flute sometimes at the Met, they have it translated in English. Also, I think for like kids productions, when they have like a shorter version of it, they kind of like shorten the opera so that the kids can watch the whole thing and enjoy it, and they bring the schools, which I think is a really beautiful initiative. So that also is a good idea. I don't personally know people who do it, but I think that's a great idea because like there could be operas like La Bohème or even like you said before, Don Giovanni, that's all in Italian. And there can be some really funny back and forth. I mean, I speak Italian, so I know. And when you study the opera, you have to kind of know what you're saying because you want to know the meaning because it's kind of like a play. You have to like act it out. But there's a lot of funny back and forth between a lot of the characters in operas. So if you don't understand it, it's kind of a shame because you're like, this could be something that can make someone laugh. And then they don't get it, you know?
So in the case of something that I was curious about, sometimes when you do a translation, okay, so that makes people understand it better, but I wonder if that also can sometimes lose some of the original subtlety that can only be captured in German or whatever, you know?
Yeah, so unfortunately, sometimes it is, even like when you watch a movie and it's dubbed, you can lose the meaning. Like, I know a lot of expressions in French and Italian that there's no way you could translate it in English because it doesn't have the same gravitas to it. But I feel like that's just the thing about it. I think some things we could do is maybe play more of the American or the British operas. There's a lot of Benjamin Britten, who is an English composer, that all of his operas are written in English, you know?
Okay.
Or Handel's Messiah. It's not an opera, but that's in English.
That's a good point.
Rejoice greatly.
I didn't even think of that. I don't know why.
Yeah, I just think maybe we should try to make it a little bit diverse in the sense that we're playing more English language operas, which they are doing at LA Opera. They have a lot of modern operas that they're doing that they're in English. And I don't know how popular they are, but they are doing them. So that's a good sign.
That's phenomenal. Well-known operas, there's some tunes that people know without realizing they know them. They just know, dun, 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 and they have no idea what it's from.
It's
but
Carmen.
Then they're like, oh, yeah, exactly.
I was talking about that. I actually had another interview another day, and I was talking about that with the interviewer, like Figaro. Everyone was Figaro, Figaro. Like from Mrs. Doubtfire, like the first scene is him singing
I thought
Figaro.
Elmer Fudd, but still, it's it crossed so much of our early jazz, opera, classical.
Yeah.
It comes from Warner Brothers cartoons.
Exactly. Or like that one episode of Bugs Bunny where he's at the Hollywood Bowl.
Gilda Rabbit.
No. When he's at the Hollywood Bowl and he's a conductor and the opera singer and he starts turning all different colors.
Yes. We get such an exposure to that and we don't even realize or
appreciate
it.
So that kind of shows how accessible it is. Like, it's not so snobby. It's like, don't don't take us so seriously as you're taking us. You know what I mean?
David Fleming in conversation with soprano Golda Zara, with more on several concerts coming up as KVC Arts continues. Many past KVC Arts can be found through iTunes, NPR One, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Now, Golda, several concerts coming up, the first one rather soon.
Yeah, it's on May 24th. I'm going to be singing some opera. I'm going to be singing musical theater. And I'm going to sing American classic, like Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which is it musical theater or would you describe it more of an American classic?
Since that's a film tune.
Yeah. So I wouldn't know if it's because I've never seen The Wizard of Oz in a theater. So I don't.
Oh, okay.
Like, not like a movie theater, right. Like a stage play musical version. So I wouldn't know what to describe that. But yeah. I'm doing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I'm going to be singing Quando M'Envo from La Bohème. Okay. That we talked about La Bohème earlier. I'm also doing Memory from Cats.
Sweet, nice.
And this is going to be in Beverly Hills. This is going to be in the Beverly Cannon Gardens, which is a really nice area because it's next to the Mayborn Hotel. If you don't know Beverly Hills, it's in the middle of North Beverly and North Cannon Drive. So it's a really nice area and it's like 2 minutes away from Rodeo Drive if you want to go have a shopping spree. Mm. It's a really fabulous concert. It's going to be starting at 6:30. It's going to be fun because we have a 5-piece jazz band.
Oh, sweet.
So it's going to be something really like fresh and kind of like a modern take to something like Quando M'Envo or Mattinat. Yeah, it's kind of like modernizing opera a little bit. And I really like it because I live in Beverly Hills and I grew up in Beverly Hills. So I'm going to give back to my community that way. So
that's totally cool. You know, we were talking about speaking Italian and you've fluent in several, French, Italian, something else.
French, Italian, and Venetian dialect, if you consider that a language.
I think a Sicilian would.
Exactly. He wouldn't understand a thing I'm saying, but he would.
Wow. Well, something that I wonder if you started learning Italian because of what you were singing. Which led to which?
Was it the chicken or the egg? I started French in middle school, and I'm actually close friends with my middle school French teacher still. She's a really wonderful human being. So I studied French first, and I studied that for opera because I had a choice between Spanish or French. And since I was singing opera and a lot of the repertoire is in French, and I already studied a couple years of Spanish, I was like, okay, well, I'll try French and see how that goes. And then Italian, I actually learned, this is kind of crazy story. I learned that in 3 months because my first teacher, it was his association in Italy that I was in that academy. He doesn't speak a word of English.
Oh.
And where I went, nobody spoke a word of English. And actually, everyone spoke Venetian dialect. No one even spoke Italian. They were just like 70, 80-year-olds only speaking Venetian dialect.
Oh.
So fight or flight. So I had to learn Italian for survival. And it was very funny because I remember my dad, he was a sweetheart. When he brought me over the first time and helped me move in, he was like, oh, do you want to continue learning your Italian classes? And I was like, no, Dad, I got it. And he was just like, oh, these damn teenagers. Oh, she's so full of herself. Who does she think she is? And then he saw me speaking in Italian actually really well. And he was like, oh, never mind. Because he didn't realize that I had to learn it for like survival because it's like you go there and you go to the grocery store and you want to get groceries. And it's kind of like people who come here, you know, for the first time, right. They don't speak a word of English. Fortunately, there's a lot of Spanish speakers. But imagine if you're not a Spanish speaker, you speak Italian or Mandarin or Russian. How are you going to talk with someone at Whole Foods and you want to like pay? What are you going to do? You know what I mean? So that was kind of my experience.
Well, you can only smile and nod for so long.
Yeah.
Wow. That's something, again, I wondered about. And there's some people that Brian Hyland, for example, he did It's a Bitsy Teeny Wee Yellow Polka Dot Bikini.
Oh, I love that song.
So that's Brian Hyland. He also did Sealed with a Kiss.
Okay.
But then way back when, I don't know, early 60s, he also did a German version of it. He did a version of it in German. And I asked him, he said, yes, he does speak German, but a lot of the German that he speaks are the lyrics to the song.
Yeah, that's
so it's
like a lot
like,
of
so we
got to
say goodbye for the summer. And like, I'll never use that in a traditional conversation.
Yeah.
But, May 24th, Beverly Cannon Gardens. And this one is free to the public.
This one's free to the public. It's in a park, so bring food, a blanket, you can have a little picnic. It's going to be a really nice evening.
If anybody didn't catch these dates, just go to goldazahra.com, goldazahra.com, and you can catch these again, including June 13th,
St.
Monica.
Yeah. I've been a part of the St. Monica Catholic community for a long time because actually the conductor that I'm going to be singing all of these concerts with, actually, Daniel Suk, we used to do a series of concerts in St. Monica's Catholic Church in Santa Monica. This is kind of like our homecoming at St. Monica's Church because we're going to be doing a concert of sacred pieces. But not only, we're also going to be doing the prayer, the Andrea Bocelli Celine Dion duet. We have a tenor coming, so we're going to do that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And we're going to do You Raise Me Up. This concert is really special because all of the proceeds are going to be going to the church, and they're helping with the victims of the fire in the Pacific Palisades in Malibu. So they're helping build everything up again. So it's going to be something that's going to go help the Santa Monica Pacific Palisades community, which I had a lot of friends in the Santa Monica area. So it's near and dear to my heart.
Of course.
Yeah. It's going to be a really, really great concert because we're also going to have a violinist and we're going to have the LA Opera Chorus with us, and they're going to be singing Ode to Joy and the Hallelujah Chorus. For someone who's religious but also not religious and a music lover, I think it's going to be something that a lot of people could enjoy.
Is this going to be like the full 50 voices Ode to Joy kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's going to be like a big badass chorus. Ah, da, da, da. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this one is June 13th.
June 13th.
St. Monica Catholic Church.
St. Monica's Catholic Church.
In Santa Monica.
Yes.
Now we also have, this is maybe a throwback to a year ago, July 12th, Golda Zara in concert.
Yes. Yes.
Is that right? Yeah,
that
about
is,
a year ago.
That is a throwback. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Oh my God, time flies.
Almost
well, I mean, we haven't seen each other in 9 years, so time really does fly.
True. Wow. Yeah. Now, this is the one at the Broad. I don't remember if we spoke about this on the air or if us talking, but let's hear about this one.
I haven't spoken about it yet. This is my recital, Golda Zara in concert. So I'm by myself and I'm accompanied with the Dream Orchestra and Maestro Daniel Suk. And this is kind of what I was saying, that this is going to be my concert where I want to introduce people to opera, and not only because I'm going to be singing. The first half is going to be strictly operatic, but it's going to be most of the hits from opera. So I'm going to be singing like La Traviata, Romeo and Juliet. Okay. And I'm also going to be bringing a nod into Turandot because I'm going to be singing the role of Liu at Walt Disney Concert Hall and on August 16th. So I'm going to be singing Turandot as a kind of like amuse-bouche type, like a appetizer, you know. In this concert, the second half, I'm going to be doing musical theater. So I'm going to be singing Memory, but I'm also going to be singing a tribute to my mom with The Sound of Music.
Nice.
Because my mom is a big Julie Andrews and Sound of Music fan. So I'm going to kind of do a medley there. I'm going to sing My Fair Lady. I'm going to sing a lot of fun musical theater pieces that a lot of opera singers do.
Well, you mentioned your mom's, the Sound of Music. The normal one of my favorites is My Fair Lady.
Yeah, so. I could have danced all night.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Danced all night. Okay. you wait, Edna Higgins. That's something that I love about musical theater sometimes is that, you can have the properly trained voice, but then you can also have the throwaway, the just you white Henry Eggins. And
yeah,
just kind of
I love it.
Very forgiving.
It's great. Yeah, it's fun. And I love the character voice actors that do that, even like in Hairspray.
Oh, sure. Wow.
Yeah.
We just went from
one to another.
Ricky Lake, everybody.
Yeah.
That one also is ticketed. The first one, the Beverly Cannon Gardens, that one is free to the public. These other ones are ticketed events. And I want to remind everybody again, goldazara.com.
Yeah.
Now, for tickets, stage,
Broad Stage, you can find me at goldainconcert.com.
Okay. Goldainconcert.com.
So, yeah.
So here's one that you referred to just a second ago, Puccini's Turandot.
This is, I feel like it's one of the most epic operas on the face of the planet because there is an aria that everybody knows. And they may not know that it's from this opera, but it's Nessun Dorma. And that's the one that Pavarotti's saying. And he goes, Vincerò. Everyone knows that. And I feel like any person that watches it will get hyped up when the tenor screams, Vincerò. This is the one actually Aretha Franklin sang at the Oscars. I think this is late 90s, early 2000s, because Pavarotti was supposed to sing it. And then she stepped in and she actually did an amazing rendition of it. I love how she sang it. A lot of opera people are going to poo-poo me when they hear me say this, but I'm proud to say that I love Aretha Franklin's version of Nessun Dorma.
Wow.
It's really epic.
Well, the fact that they replaced Pavarotti
with
Aretha Franklin.
I know. Oh, God bless her.
Okay, so that's
turned off. August 16th at the Walt Disney Concert Hall. We're going to have a really great cast. It's going to be semi-stage. It's going to be the full opera. I feel like a lot of people, because of that aria, people that don't know opera could enjoy it. But also it's a very interesting Chinese legend type story about ice princess that she never wants to marry. And her heart actually gets melted by this prince. And she gives him 3 challenges that he has to do.
Okay.
And he gets through all of them and he ends up winning her. And yeah, it's a really amazing story. I'm playing Liu, which she's the sweetheart of the story because she's the slave caretaker of the prince's father, Timur.
Okay.
And she's madly in love with the prince and she sacrifices her life to save the prince. And it's very sad how she sacrifices her life, but it's a sweet thing to think about it for a hopeless romantic like myself. So the Walt Disney Concert Hall, you can find the tickets at dreamorchestra.org.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Excellent. Now, one thing to wrap this, when Golda was in 9 years ago, let's say, it was about 9 years ago. Now, I'm joking around about this, you know, highbrow, lowbrow type of stuff and opera and whatnot. What I had Golda do or asked her to do, she had fun doing this when it happened.
I'm thinking about it
but
again.
But I surprised her with it. I asked her to take a pop tune, but put it out there with an operatic voice, head tone or whatever. And so what we got was Blue Suede Shoes. You could go to kvcrnews.org/arts and search Golda Berkman. You can find that one. So this time, Golda, I would love to hear something again with something from the pop world, maybe something that somebody would know, but let's have it in proper.
Proper.
I don't know if you just need to stand up or if you can just kind of.
Yeah, I'm just clearing my voice a
little bit. Okay, okay.
So since we were talking about the 80s, I think, and Madonna. Shall I?
Do it.
Okay.
Do it.
Like a virgin, touched for the very first time. Like a virgin. I think I'll spare them with the rest.
Oh, my God.
Oh, well.
Thank you so much for that.
Thank
that was beautiful.
I tried my best.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Golda, I appreciate your time. I had a great time with this,
Thank you.
I was looking
Me
forward
too.
To this reconnecting after all this time. And I'm so glad you're still doing this.
I'm so glad to still be here and doing this. I love it. It's something that really brings me joy. And like we said, I like to be able to teach people about opera and make it more accessible. And hopefully some young kids might see me someday and say, oh, I would like to start studying opera. I want to start learning thanks to her. That'd be really humbling and beautiful for me.
And they want to sing Madonna a different way.
Yeah, or maybe they do Prince next time when doves
there
cry.
It is. There it is. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Golda, thank you again.
Thank you.
For this edition of KVC Arts, it's been Conversation with Golda Zara. A reminder that while the Beverly Cannon Garden concert starts at 6:30, getting there early is encouraged. More at goldazara.com, Z-A-H-R-A, goldazara.com. Also, goldaincontert.com, and with some of the concerts down the road, angelicvoice.com for the one in Santa Monica, dreamorchestra.org as well. And you can also follow her on Facebook, Golda Zara, and on Instagram, at golda.zara. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Golda Zara and to Shalom Berkman of Earth Cafe as well. Here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Zach Mays, Champ Chipman, and Sharina Wad. Many past KVC Arts can be found through iTunes, NPR One, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. Give any time of the year, day or night, at kvcrnews.org/support. And thanks again.